The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 22nd chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Then the Pharisees went and plotted to entrap Jesus in what he said. So they sent their disciples to him along with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and teach the way of God in accordance with truth, and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality. Tell us then what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, "Why are you putting me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. Then he said to them, "Whose head is this, and whose title?" They answered, "The emperor's." Then he said to them, "Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's." When they heard this, they were amazed, and they left him and went away. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Children may come forward for the children's sermon.
Do any of you go to school? You go to school? You go to school? Well, in Vicar Hahn's reading just now in the Gospel, it was about a rule. Do you have rules at school? Can you tell me what some rules are? Walk in the hall. Is it in a straight line? Yeah, that's one rule. Any other rules? No talking in the hall. Okay. Any others? What? Listen to the teacher. Okay, so you have rules all around you. The book of Matthew that Vicar Hahn's just read from, that chapter is about rules. And during Jesus' time, they had many, many rules. So one day, the leaders of the church came to Jesus and they said, "Tell us, what is the most important rule?" Do you know what he said? He said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And there's one more. Love your neighbor as yourself." Now, why do you think he said, "Love God"? Why should we love God? He's our Father. He made us. Very good. He gave us this beautiful world to live in. He gave us pets to love. He gave us a special family. Yeah, that's easy to say. We love God with all our heart and our soul and our mind. But we're all supposed to love our neighbor. Now, what do you think that means? As yourself. Do you purposely go out and hurt yourself? No. Do you purposely say bad things about yourself? No. So Jesus is saying, if we're not going to do bad things to ourselves, we shouldn't do them to our friends. And then we're also showing honor and glory to God. So this one rule, love the Lord with all your heart, your soul, and your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. It takes care of all the other rules. If we love our neighbors and we want them to be safe, we're going to stay in a straight line in school, right? And if we raise our hand to speak, we're going to show honor to our teacher and our friends by being able to hear what they have to say also. So God's or Jesus' rule to us is thankfully the very best rule to follow. Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for giving us the one rule that will lead us to your home. Amen. Thank you for coming up.
Grace to you and peace, brothers and sisters, from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Give therefore to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's. I think it's lost its ring. I would suspect that more than a few of us, if we were asked to repeat this line back tomorrow, would more than likely come up with, "Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's." And while this may sound like a comment about preferring one translation of the Bible over another, it is actually speaking to something that this text brings up. The idea that many of us could, in fact, come up with that line if someone asked us what the thing was that Jesus said about paying taxes, that doesn't mean we're all of one mind when it comes to how we think about tax policy in our country. The fact that we can come up with that line from St. Matthew's Gospel means that the Word of God is occupying space inside of our minds. And this is a good thing. Nowadays, the title is defined by the historic role of the leader, that is, the person who presides over the affairs of state, instead of what had been a family name that was later turned into a title. And because we don't call them Caesar or Kaiser or Czar or King, I'm not sure how much we think about what it means to render unto the emperor or the empire the things that are due to them. And I'm not sure that we can truly understand that without also asking what things it is that are God's, which we are called to give him. The Pharisees sent out their disciples, along with some Herodians, to ask Jesus a question, hoping that he would answer in such a way that they could justify using the power of the Roman state against him. Their hope was that in seeing this man who was so singularly focused on God, they could get him to publicly speak against Caesar, the kind of thing which could get a person killed. During all of Jesus' adolescent and adult life, Israel had always been under Roman occupation. So dealing with the manifestations of the state, the hard presence and extension of Caesar's power, was something that people in that part of the world were accustomed to. The Pharisees' question was not going to cause Jesus to stumble. Render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's, he said. He took a denarius in his hands, already beginning to make his point. And while some older translations mistook this for a penny, it was not that. It was much more. It represented a living wage for a day's labor, enough to provide for a family while a laborer went out in search of their next job. What it was a coin of truly substantive value. But in his hands, it became the least important thing. When Jesus had initially begun to answer this question, he began by addressing the questioners as hypocrites. They probably thought little of it coming from him, but it is a hypocrisy that we need to understand. As a particular hypocrisy, what Jesus had encountered was a group of people who were trying to use the power of the secular, non-religious state to deal with a religious disagreement. In the way that they were dealing with Christ, the hypocrisy of these people was quite pronounced, because all of these people were steeped in the scriptures and were students of God's law, which meant that all of these people knew and professed a belief that life was created by God and that life belonged to Him and not to the state, not to Caesar. So if they wanted to take a life, their appeal was never supposed to be to the state. But in their desire to take Jesus' life, that is exactly what they were trying to do. And their particular hypocrisy was part of a larger hypocrisy, and it's one that we need to pay attention to today. Their particular hypocrisy betrayed a larger problem. The problem of where our energies, our thoughts and our hearts and our minds are focused. Because just like them, it is not at all uncommon for a group of Christians to gather together in our day and age and for the topic of our conversation, the focus of our thoughts and energies, to turn to the political voices and the leaders in our country. It's almost as if we can't help but talk about something that one of them has said or done, or what they haven't said or done, but we wished they had, or we're glad that they haven't. It's not even a question of whether we are pleased or displeased with the president or Congress. It's the fact that the remnant of Caesar in our day is receiving far more from us than they are entitled to. Render unto Caesar is not actually the strongest part of Christ's statement to those who sought to entrap him. It is the back half of that sentence which is the part we really need to hear. Give to God the things that are God's. While that tax may belong to Caesar, even that is a limited commitment. Christ is encountered by these people in the temple, who, it seems, are not thinking about or talking about or being about what God desires for them. Their efforts and energies, their thoughts and conversations are all concerned with what the power of the state, what the government is doing, and whether or not they can receive a benefit from it. And Christ looks at them and tells them to render to God the things that are God's. Depending on the politician or what they happen to have done in the last week, it seems that we or our friends, not to mention one or another news outlets, are ready to declare his glory among the nations and his marvelous works among all the peoples at the first available opportunity. When that happens, we need to hear those words from the psalmist again and remember that they were only ever meant for God. And our psalm today does provide us a good reminder of how it is that our energy and effort, our thoughts and our minds and our time and our being are to be shaped. The call to us, ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength, ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name, bring an offering and come into his courts, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. This is what we Christians are called to because our salvation is in Christ. We have life and breath because of God our Creator, and it is our joy to declare his glory among the nations and his marvelous works among all the peoples, and to sing to the Lord, bless his name, tell of his salvation from day to day. Because in Christ, in his claim on our very lives, he has placed a limit on what we can render unto Caesar and what Caesar can rend from us. In Christ, we have received the blessed gift to freely give to God the things that are God's because he has claimed us. And we are no longer bound to spend our time and our effort to define every conversation as a tribute to Caesar. In Christ, our lives get to be lived out to the glory of God. Every moment, every conversation, every interaction gets to be in and about him. It is a blessing that no Caesar, no emperor or empire could ever bestow on us. Amen.